So yesterday we were in the middle of talking about how come it says Bimei Matatyahu ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol, and also by Mordechai and Esther, we spoke about Mordechai and Esther, but we didn't say who they themselves came from. But by Matatyahu, we point out who he came from, Yochanan Kohen Gadol. And one pshat that the Tashbates says is that Yochanan Kohen Gadol was somebody that's spoken about in the Gemara, that his whole life had been a tzaddik Kohen Gadol, but then when he was 80 or older, he went off the Terech and became a tzaddiki, who don't accept Chazal, they don't accept the Rabbanon, they only do what it sounds like explicitly in the Psukim, which often will come up against what the Rabbanon have to say. And he went off the Derech, and the Gemara says we learn from there by Yochanan Kohen Gadol that a person should never trust in himself until the day that he dies. You could always, you know, go off the Derech, you always have to be on guard. So what we're trying to show over here is that Matatyahu was a tikkun. He fixed the sin of Yochanan Kohen Gadol, because Matatyahu did hold strong unto the Chazal, unto the Rabbanan also. Specifically because we know that the fact that when a guy touches shemen or touches liquids that he makes them tameh would really only be a din de Rabbanan, that a guy is considered tameh, that a guy is tameh like a zav. That's a din de Rabbanan. And Matatyahu was makbid on that. And that's why they had to make new shemen, new oil. So Matatyahu holding strong onto the takanas of the Rabbanan was a tikkun for Yochanan Kohen Gadol for not following the Rabbanan. Kesha'amda malchus yavan harisha'a al amcha Yisrael. So first of all, from the word kesha'amda, they stood up, the Greek government, they stood up against amcha Yisrael. We have to understand that they had a very clear goal in mind. They were fighting philosophies. They were fighting other cultures. They believed that their way of living, their way of looking at things, that all their arts and their sciences and their studies and their philosophies was something that had to be spread and accepted by the entire world. When the Greeks conquered land, they conquered it in order to spread their ideas. And even though they were, you know, very knowledgeable and front line when it came to all these different areas, but they looked at it as an end of itself. The Greeks only believed in things that you could see, that you could measure, that you could sense. Anything beyond that, anything in the spiritual realm, they didn't accept. And that concept they were trying to spread. They stood up to fight this. And Amch Yisrael is like the ultimate enemy for them, because Klai Yisrael believe in the Torah. They believe that there was a wisdom above what human beings can understand that was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that was like the climax of what it was that they were fighting against. We could say about Machas Yavan that they were Risha'a in their essence. This was Rishus in its essence, by trying to cut the world off from its spiritual source, where it comes from. Lashkicham Torah Secha Ulavira Mechukei Ritzonecha. They wanted to make Klai Yisrael forget the Torah. How do you make Klai Yisrael forget the Torah? So one way, just logically, first what the Greeks did, they were the governing ruling body all around that area for six generations. And in the beginning, they weren't acting like Rishon. In the beginning, they were just building stadiums and inviting the Jews to join their sports and to follow their sports and to watch it. And they were spreading their wisdom. They were translating the Torah to Greek. And by making the area suffuse with their culture, that itself would make the Jews forget the Torah, Lashkicham Torah Secha. But also in another way, Chaim Kanievsky says that what was the whole idea of them trying to make all the oil tameh, all the shemen tameh? Because it says in Chazal in numerous places that shemen zayit helps for one's memory, it helps one remember Torah, olive oil. So by making all the olive oil tameh, so in those days people were careful not to even eat chulin, non-truma, non-kachim, batahara. So if they were tameh, they wouldn't eat it. So by the guy making all the shemen tameh, they wouldn't be able to eat shemen zayit, and therefore they couldn't eat that food that makes you remember Torah. And that was another way they wanted to be lashkicham Torah secha, to make them forget Hashem's Torah. But also notice over here that it says, it didn't say lashkicham ha-Torah, lashkicham Torah, so lashkicham Torah secha, lavira michukei rutzonecha. They wanted to, not that they wanted them to just necessarily forget the Torah, but to forget that it was Hashem's Torah. To forget that it was Hashem's Ratzon, Ratzon Necha, that They don't mind. Learn the Torah like any other study. Study our studies, philosophies, and all that. And study your Torah, but don't actually look at it as some coming from a supreme higher source of wisdom. Study it like, God forbid, a literature book. And that's why they wanted it translated to Greek. It doesn't make a difference what language it's in. It's just another textbook. And therefore, that's why it stresses Torah, Lashkicham Torah Secha, to make them forget that it's your Torah. La'avim michuka ritzonecha. There's also a stress here on chukim. A chok, we know, is reflecting on the fact that we can't understand the real reason behind the mitzvahs. Specifically, there are mitzvahs that it's obvious that we can't even really understand what's the idea behind that mitzvah. And those mitzvahs, the presence of chukim amongst the 613 mitzvahs, is to be a constant reminder to us that we can't understand everything, we won't understand everything, because this is coming from a wisdom that's above us. The Greeks, that's the thing that they can't handle the most. A chok, doing something that you don't understand, doesn't make any sense. Because if you don't understand it, that means it makes no sense. Because the only things that make sense in this world are things that can fit in the human brain. Because there is nothing that comes from a higher source. And that's why they wanted it to be La Vira Michuke Rotzonecha. They specifically wanted the Jews to drop and go against the Chukim, which are sourced in Ritzonecha, the Ratzon Hashem, that there's no other way that we can explain them other than say about them that they are the Ratzon Hashem. That's what irked them the most, and they fought against. So just like the Greeks stood up against Amcha Yisrael, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu stood up, Amadat Alehem. So now, like, picture, that's not an even sides now anymore, because once it's a Kadosh Baruch Hu standing on one side, the war is basically over. So Va'ata Barachamecha Harabim Amatam. Barachamecha Harabim shows that it required Rachamim in order for this war to work out. But why? Why did it require Rachamim? It seems like it was very fair that the Jews should win. We're going to end up saying in a few lines from now that it was the Tamam against the Taharim, the Risham against the Tzaddikim. So if you want to see what's fair, who should win, obviously it should be the Tzaddikim. Why does it require Rachamim and Rubim for the Jews to win? So it could be that you could say that, okay, but the fact that they won in such a miraculous way, in such an obviously miraculous way, with an added cherry on top of the miracle of the Neros Chanukah, so maybe that's where the Rachamim, Rachamecha HaRabim were. It could also be in the fact that maybe there still have been a lot of Jews that follow after the Greeks, and maybe they didn't deserve it, and that was the Racham HaRabim. But probably the Pasha Pshat is that no, even when we do the mitzvos, and even when we act like tzaddikim, still, whatever it is that Hashem does for us is really His Rachamim HaRabim, everything that He does for us. There's nothing that we deserve from Him. There's no such thing as deserving something from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, when he davens to Hashem, v'eschanan al Hashem, he asks for a matnas chinam, a free present. Even when you don't have any sins, and even when you have so many schuyos, still, we're undeserving. HaKadosh Baruch Hu started us off with tons of presents. And the ability to do all the mitzvahs that we did, He gave us that ability. So therefore, everything that He does for us is with His Racham HaRabim. Amata Lehem Be'ez Tzarasam. Raftes Rivam Dantes Dinam Nakamta Es Nikmasam. So first of all, these three phrases are reminiscent of a similar three phrases that we see in the tefillah that we say after the reading of the Megillah on Purim. The tefillah called Haravas Rivenu. So we say, Haravas Rivenu, Hadanas Dinenu, V'Hanokim Es Nikmasenu. So we talk over there also about Hashem fights our Rivim, and He judges our judgments, Nokem and Nikmasenu, those same three things. What's going on over here? So the Chasam Sofer says it in a really nice way. He says the judgment process involves lawyers that argue and fight on the behalf of both the sides. And then it has the judges that judge the case and come out with a verdict. And then it has the police that carry out the verdict. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did all three parts for us. We just stood back and watch this tremendous Yeshua. He was Ravis Rivenu. He argued our side. Dantas Dinam. He was our judge and judged in our favor. Nakamta Nikmasam. And He took revenge on our behalf. I mean, He carried it out like the police do. He took over the entire judgment system for us and did the whole thing. We sat back and watched. You can't look at what we did as really being effective at all. It was so insignificant. He did the entire thing. Raftis Rivam is that he fought our side and argued our arguments. Nakamta Nikmasam, he took revenge on our behalf. So not only did the Greeks lose and we won and he saved us, but also there was a lot of aspects of nakama, of revenge, in the way that we won. For example, there's a midrash, there's a Gemara in Tainis that talks about how there was one of the Greek leaders that used to every day wave his finger at Yehuda and at Yerushalayim and say, when are they going to fall into my hands and I'm going to crush them? And then when the Hashmonaim won, they cut off this guy's fingers and hands and legs and hung them up at the gates of Yerushalayim and said, a mouth that spoke with such haughtiness against Yerushalayim and fingers that waved themselves against Yerushalayim, look at what happens to them. And so in other words, that was an aspect of nakama, nakamta and nikmasam. Hashmonaim took revenge on their behalf, that we saw the revenge in front of us. Masarta giborim biyad chalashim, rabbi ba'amatim, tmeim biyad torim, v'sham biyad tzedikim, v'zidim biyad oskei Torah sechad. There's five things over here, this against that, this against that. And yesterday we asked the question at the Chanukah party, I understand you're trying to show how great of a miracle it was that the chalashim, the weak, beat the strong, and the ma'atim, the they will pick up from here tomorrow.